ते वसुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil. This morning is text numbers 56 and 57. Huh? In the beginning, this Brahmana named Ajamil. In the beginning, this Brahmana named Ajamil studied all the Vedic literatures. He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct, and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful, and he knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamil was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, are explaining the factual position of piety and impiety and how a living entity is entangled in this material world. Describing the history of Ajamil's life, the Yamadutas relate that in the beginning he was a learned scholar of the Vedic literature. He was well-behaved, neat and clean, and very kind to everyone. In fact, he had all good qualities. In other words, he was like a perfect Brahmana. A Brahmana is expected to be perfectly pious, to follow all the regulative principles, and to have all good qualities. The symptoms of piety are explained in these verses. Srila Viraragava Acharya comments that Drittavratta means Drittam Vrattam Stri Sangha Rahityatmaka Brahmacharya Rupam. In other words, Ajamil followed the rules and regulations of celibacy as a perfect brahmachari and was very soft-hearted, truthful, clean, and pure. How he fell down in spite of all these qualities and thus came to be threatened with punishment by Yamaraj will be described in the following verses. So let me read the translation again. In the beginning, this Brahmana, named Ajamil, studied all the Vedic literatures. He was a reservoir of good character, good conduct and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and he was also very pure. Ajamil was very respectful to his spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities, and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. So he started off well. He was born in a Brahminical family, and with his mother's milk, so to speak, he absorbed all these good qualities. He was trained properly. So you can go over these characteristics. Shruta Sampanaha, well educated in Vedic knowledge. His first characteristic, Shruta Sampanaha. Actually, the reason for going on is he says here, Prabhupada says that we are supposed to also have be the same perfect brahmanas. This movement is for creating brahmanas, and one actually has to come to the brahminical platform. It should be the case that with the practice of proper sadhana, there and following devotional service, is the effects of passion and ignorance should begin to disappear, and then these qualities will become manifest. It's not that separately one should not strive to develop them. That should also be there. But if the proper following of regulative principles of Krishna consciousness is done nicely, then they will develop without any doubt. There'll be no failure in anyone's attempt. So you can see how this has to be there. Shruta Sampanaha, well educated in Vedic knowledge, that we're also supposed to achieve this. This means well educated in Srila Prabhupada's books. This is Vedic knowledge for us, because it always comes down parampara. Otherwise one should not read too many other books. Vedic knowledge has to be received through the disciplic succession. Otherwise, it'll not be understood. Just as it says, if you haven't received your mantra through a sampradaya, it's useless. So Vedic knowledge, that doesn't will not be there unless it's coming from a proper source. So Prabhupada has given us this Vedic literature in the form of his books. One big failure is failure to study these books and to teach them, because they're not as well known within the Hare Krishna movement as they should be. That's a difficulty. Prabhupada worked so hard to present everything in his books, and yet we see so many people don't take advantage of this great gift. So they may go around mouthing Prabhupada's name, but they don't even bother to take advantage of what he's given us. So first of all, Shruta Sampana. We understand Prabhupada's books, then we'll be perfectly qualified in all Vedic knowledge. Not that you may, some details you may not know, that's another thing. But the goal is to go back home, back to Godhead, to achieve love of Krishna, pure love of God. That's the goal of the Vedas. So if you reach the goal, that's what is learned in Vedic knowledge. So then his other, Shila Vritta Guna Alaya. Alaya means reservoir. Shila, good character. Vritta, good conduct. And Guna, good qualities. The word Guna means, of course, usually quality, mode. But used by itself, it sometimes means good qualities. Oh, we do the same thing in English, you know. A quality tape recorder. We mean good quality tape recorder, you know. So when it just says guna, it means good qualities. This is called what the pregnant sense of the term, you know. It's like you say he's a man or he's a man. You know, so in the pregnant sense, it means good, great, you know, exemplary. So qualities, but good guna. So here, Shila Vritta Guna Alaya, reservoir of good character, good conduct, good qualities. This is his nature. Later on, let me skip ahead a little bit. Sadhu. He's called sadhu, well-behaved. His behavior is perfect. This is the meaning of sadhu. And Prabhupada says in parentheses, no one could find any fault in his character. So this was Prabhupada's answer to the person who interviewed him for this television show in Gainesville, which is reprinted. somewhere in that book, Science of Self-Realization. I think it first came out, we had a little pamphlet called Transcendental Broadcast, a very good interview. So the person asked Prabhupada how he could recognize, how would he know a devotee, what symptoms would be there if he met it. And Prabhupada said, he would be a perfect gentleman. That's how he put it. He said he would be a perfect gentleman. You would not be able to find any fault in him. So you can see Prabhupada was thinking of this word sadhu. He's replying from scripture. Everywhere you see Prabhupada's reply is from scripture. Nothing concocted. That he would be a sadhu. This is how you can recognize. No one can find any fault in his character. So that should be there. This is the characteristics of devotees. So then you think, well, but in reality, I see so many ill-behaved people who at least they have tilak and netbis and so many things. So we have to think that that will go away in time, that at first someone becomes a devotee. They may have so many bad qualities they bring with them. But then you can say, well, I've seen it not gone away after many years. And still badly behaved. Well, then we have to think that maybe that person is not following the process. You cannot expect the results of Krishna consciousness without following the practices of Krishna consciousness. So it's like a science. If you do things right, you'll see these things happen. You'll see the mode of passion and ignorance disappear. You'll see one's character become improved. You'll see all bad behavior go away. So if these anarthas persist, then there's something wrong. This is called anartha nivritti. Anartha means the dirty things in the heart. And so this is the stages of devotional service. One of the stages is anartha nivritti. After there's some preliminary trust, some shraddha, and after there's association with devotees, sadhu sangha, then comes bhajana kriya. So bhajana kriya means performing the practices of devotional service under supervision and guidance, and correctly. That's bhajana kriya. So if there's bhajana kriya, then there'll be anartha nirvritti. But if there's not bhajana kriya, then there won't be anartha nirvritti. So bhajana kriya means there has to be your practice has to be very good. Then if it's not there, so somebody may come in and you say, will you clean this room? And you go in later and you see so much dirt is there. And he says, I cleaned it, he says. And so somebody came in, their idea of cleaning a room is, you know, to wave a rag around in the air a little bit and rearrange the dirt and go out. That's not cleaning. They're not diligent. They're not careful. They're not conscientious. So the room is dirty. So if we're not diligent, careful, and conscientious in our practice of devotional service, then how can you expect to see the dirty things of the heart go away? They won't. And one thing we see is that people won't even be honest about it. That you see so many people, they're have become critics of Krishna consciousness or the Krishna consciousness movement. And many, many of these vehement critics are people who are personally very disappointed in their spiritual life. They think that I've been a devotee for so many years, 15 years or whatever, and I'm still unhappy. I've not conquered my material desires. You see, the desire is still there for making spiritual advancement. But basically you find that they're disappointed in themselves. And so they become critics, ineffectual critics, because what they're doing is then they're blaming ISKCON or the gurus or this or that, somebody else's fault that I'm not pure. But you can see that they simply were not diligent in this practice. And sometimes they have expected other people to be diligent for them. But that won't work. If we're lazy, this is a mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is characterized by laziness. So if we're lazy in our spiritual life, so what does that lazy mean? Lazy means I procrastinate. Tomorrow I'll read Prabhupada's books. Tomorrow I'll chant my rounds better. Tomorrow, and of course, tomorrow is always tomorrow. It's never today. So you put off to the indefinite future. Procrastination, doing things in a hasty way at the last minute, doing them badly, doing a cursory job. You know, these are symptoms of laziness. So that laziness is there. Oh, of course, sometimes you're fortunate. You're a lazy person. Someone will come along, grab you by the shoulders, shake you until your teeth rattle and says, shape up, and maybe we'll shape up. This is called good fortune. Or maybe we're simultaneously lazy and proud, and when somebody tells me, then I become very angry. It depends. But if we haven't made progress in Krishna consciousness, is because we haven't followed the process. It's a simple thing. And rather than sit around and say this person's fault or that person's fault, just say it's my fault. I didn't follow the process and resolve to do so. But it's not that we're going to sit around lolling in dirt and filth and sense gratification and Krishna consciousness is going to come, you know, like the good fairy and tap us on the head with a wand and then everything's all right. No, that's not how. We have to want Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said once in a lecture, he was enjoining people to follow the order of the spiritual master. Follow Krishna's order. He said, if you don't follow, he says, where is the proof that you love Krishna? So this is what we call sentimentality. Prabhupada talks about being sentimental. So sentimental means a superficial feeling. It doesn't go very deep. It's easy comes, easy goes. So sentimentally, I may have some feeling for Srila Prabhupada or for Krishna, but where's the proof? Where's the proof? If there's no proof that I don't follow the orders, then I have to say, well, that's sentimental. Well, sentiment may be, you know, the foundation for something deeper, but sooner or later, the proof has to be there. The proof has to be there. So this is, we can't be lazy. So all these good qualities develop here. Dhritavrata. Fixed in the execution of Vedic injunctions. Vrata means vow. Vrata is a vow, and dritta means firm vow. So our vows have to be firm. This is a characteristic. This means character. Character means I take vows and I stick to them. Bad character means I take vows and then later on I don't feel like it and I have so many excuses and so many reasons and why I can't and shouldn't have taken the vows and so many inconveniences. And we know we're like this. You know, I have a vow to get up early in the morning and then I wake up and I feel my nose is stuffy and then I think, because I'm a cheater, that, oh, well, you know, now I have an excuse, actually. I can say I'm sick. And I gradually, first thing I do is I lay there and convince myself that I'm sick, that I'm feeling more and more symptoms, and then I don't get up, you see, because this is bad character. But that everybody, we all, I think maybe almost everyone is like this. I'm not thinking of anybody other than myself, really. But the point is that one has to say, okay, this is the way I am. It's all right to say, okay, this is the way I am. What's wrong is if I'm like this and to say, I am advanced devotee. I'm perfect. I'm no faults. you have to say yes. This, be honest. The honesty is there, and then one says, now I have to work on this. Because we can see our mind is wanting sense gratification. Our mind is thinking of so many ways to avoid Krishna consciousness. But we have to track down, you know, we have to like be on top of the mind and to conquer the mind. It goes this way, it runs that way, it's trying this way, just like Ram, our local Ram, the cat, gets the mice. If you've seen how this cat catches mice, and you can understand that whenever the mind is like trying to avoid Krishna consciousness, you just grab him. Like that. So, Dhritavrata has to be there. We have to perform Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita says, Dhritavrata, with a fixed vow. This is the same thing as Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi. You know, fixed, resolute determination. And Krishna says, in the minds of those who are too attached to opulent living and sense pleasure, this resolution, determination does not arise in their minds. That's why if we want to get something done in Krishna consciousness, it's a big project, big heroic project. One person becomes Krishna conscious can save the whole world. So a big project to become Krishna conscious. It takes all time and energy. Therefore, we have to focus. We have to develop this resolute determination. And that's why this following of the regular principles, Dhritavrata, means he was a brahmachari here. So that also has to be there. Whether you're married or you're not married, you have to be brahmachari. That is to say, no illicit sex. Because as soon as there's illicit sex, then there's no, you know, that resolute determination is just out the window. You can't do it. And the example is there, even in the mundane sphere, that Gandhi took a vow of brahmacharya just to try to drive the British out of India, because he knew that he would require so much determination and drive that the only way he could have that strength was if he had this celibacy vow, because that creates this. The energy has to be channeled in one direction and one direction only. He can't have his determination bled away from him by so many things. But that project of driving the British out of India, that project was not nearly as significant or as difficult as the project we have of making ourselves Krishna conscious and other people Krishna conscious. It's harder, because Gandhi could drive the British out of India, but he couldn't become a devotee of Krishna. And that score, he failed. Even though he was given good advice in this matter, what to do, he didn't do it. So this is a bigger project, actually. It's harder to drive the lust out of the heart than it is to drive the British out of India. And they were going to leave anyway. It was just historically inevitable. So Dhritaravrata, that's his firmness in the vows that we take. Then all these good qualities have to manifest, and they'll be there even if I'm an ocean of faults. If I want to have these good qualities, then Krishna will see that it happens, even though in my own material character may be defective in so many ways. The only thing that will really keep me is if I become a cheater or a pretender. So I can't be honest with myself. Then that's real problems. So Mridu, mild, a very mild and gentle person. Danta, control of the mind or the senses. Satyavak, always speaking the truth. Vak means speech. There's two vaks here, huh? Satyavak and then down at the end, mitavak. Satyavak, always truthful. So this truthfulness, as we see, is not a simple quality to have, because people can't always speak the truth. They don't even know how to tell the truth. It gets distorted. If our minds, if we have material desires, especially if we're egoists, then we lie without knowing it. Because we see things in a false way, we perceive things in a false way. Actually, if I don't recognize, if I'm thinking I'm the Lord, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, then I'm seeing things wrong. And I can't even be true. I can't be truthful, because first it begins with this first dishonesty, this illusion that Krishna is not God. I'm God. I'm the Lord. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. So my whole position is dishonest. What Prabhupada calls in the previous purport false consciousness. That's a Marxist term too, isn't it? False consciousness. A false consciousness, and therefore everything I say is false. Sometimes even I can say things that sound truthful, but they're false. There's a famous, there was a literary feud between two writers, Mary McCarthy and Lillian Hellman. So Mary McCarthy was on a TV show, and talk show, and she said about Lillian Hellman, she says, every word she writes is a lie, including and the. She said. Then Mary McCarthy got sued. Very famous, you know, statement. It was. Sometimes you feel that way. Some people, you know, everything they say is a lie. Including and the. So Satyavak, always speaking the truth. That you have to be a truthful person. Have to be a truthful person. Because people get very good at telling lies by, you know, not saying anything immediately false, and so you don't pick it up. You know, what you include, what you exclude, and so on. And the other one, mitavak, talking with great care not to speak nonsense. That's one of our principles also, not speaking nonsense. What is meant by nonsense? It means topics that are not pursuant to the development of Krishna consciousness. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. And especially it means speaking things that are not coming from, not authorized. If I want to say something is true, I have to know that it's true. And how can I know that it's true unless I've been taught by a person who knows it's true? If I just think it's true, or might be true, or may be true, then that's nonsense. So we have to study Prabhupada's books, and we hear and repeat. This is the process. First you hear, then you talk. So if you talk without first hearing, then that's nonsense. So our person first hearing, then chanting. And that means repeating. And it doesn't mean you become a mindless robot, parrot, or zombie. That's not it at all. But you have to say what's true. So how do you know? How do we know what is the absolute truth? I can't even find my way around Philadelphia, you know. I get lost on the subway system. How do I know what's God? I can't see beyond this wall. So how do I know what is the truth? About the absolute. So Krishna has explained himself and has been passed down and preserved. That's the only way I can know. I have no other claim. Otherwise, I should say, I don't know. If somebody stops me, you see people are reluctant to do that. We often have the experience of stopping somewhere and asking somebody for directions. We're lost. How do I get so-and-so? How do I get to this place? And the person doesn't know, but still he doesn't like to say, I don't know. So he gives you directions anyway. We all have this experience. And then you get even more lost. So better he said, I don't know. Instead of misleading you all over the city. So our speech has to be chaste. That is to say, we don't speculate. We don't make up nonsense. We speak what's spoken by authorized persons. But it doesn't mean, just like that there's no room for originality or self-expression. It will, because it's realized knowledge, it will always be lively. Just like Prabhupada's writing, he's simply repeating what Bhaktisiddhanta has said. But read a few pages of Bhaktisiddhanta and read a few pages of Srila Prabhupada. It's not a zombie repeating the same thing like a parrot. No, it's his realized knowledge. That's because this is not some artificial thing laid on from the beginning. This is actual knowledge. It's in everyone's heart. It's the truth. We don't get, when people repeat 2 + 2 = 4, we don't say, oh, what is that lack of originality? I have to be original. I'm going to say 2 + 2 is, you know, something else. The truth is the truth, you know. Of course, we think that in so many realms there is no truth, that nobody knows anything, and therefore it's open season to make up what you want, but that's not the case. So, satyavak, mitavak, that's there. Mantravit, he knows how to chant the Vedic hymns. Well, we should know how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the sarva mantra sara. That's in Chaitanya Charit. Sarva mantra sara. This is the essence of all mantras. So we should know how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra properly. That is to say, following the process of chanting according to the regular principles. Shuchi, always very neat and clean. This is very important, brahminical. Prabhupada said we should be revolutionarily clean. That's what he said. This is one of Prabhupada's statements that this we have not lived up to very well. It should always be very, very, very clean. The temple should be spotless. It should be shining. And if we clean like that, then we'd also shine because our inside and outside are both clean. The inside cleaning by the Hare Krishna mantra, the outside cleaning by, you know, with soap and water. Revolutionarily clean. They said that because the brahminical standard is there, suci, you know. You go to some place, modes of ignorance, you know, big piles of dirt everywhere, you know, carcasses of dead animals that haven't been removed, you know, everything's like rotten, decayed, messy. This is mode of ignorance. We should be clean. Then Guru Agni Atiti Vridham Shushushur knows how to serve it with great respect. The Guru. Agni, the fire god. This is because here is a Brahminical householder. So in Vedic culture, in Brahminical householders, the sacrificial fire is always kept lit in the home. So this is Agni. And so there's the presence of religiosity is there by tending this sacrificial fire, which is kept going all the time. So this is what's meant by always respectful service to Agni, is the fire of sacrifice that Brahmins always keep in their household. Atithi, to guests. Here's another big failure of our movement, the treatment of guests. Vedic culture, guests are treated like royalty. And so here is listed, you see, along with Guru. So in our movement, you know, that sometimes we know Guru, how Guru is treated, but not to the exclusion of other things. So also Atithi, guests, they must be treated just like that. They must be received very nicely. I just found a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote, how that when a guest arrives, there must be hot prasadam ready for them. There's no excuse that, there's nothing to eat, wait till the offering. And he gives instructions how every temple should have, make something in the morning that's kept for guests in special pots. When they come, it's offered, and so on. So that any time a guest come, immediately, you know, there's hot prasad. And he says what there should be, you know, some sabji, some rice, some pakora, like that. When that letter came out, we did it for a while. It was quite a project. But we had a system that worked, which I would like to reinstitute. The idea that guests are not just, you know, what's this guy doing here? He's a guest. You know? It has to be properly received. And also Vriddhanam, the elderly members, senior people also. This is, old-fashioned, isn't it? So Guru, Agni, Atiti, Vridha, and Shushushur, all the taking care of the spiritual master, the fire god, guests, and the elderly household members. This is just human civilization, you know. This is the way it's supposed to be. He has no pride or false prestige, anahankritaha. He's free from that. Sarva bhuta suhrit, friendly to all living beings. Sadhu, well behaved, we talked that. Mitavak, not to speak nonsense. And anusuyakaha, not envious. Now, these are all the characteristics that we should be developing, this Krishna consciousness. You can imagine if every temple people have these qualities, that we would be very popular. Because immediately you'll want to come. If you come there, you're treated very respectfully. It's very, very clean. There's an atmosphere. Because all these, this character creates an atmosphere that people want to come to. They'll just immediately come. And that has to be there. All these things. Prabhupada wanted us to develop all these good qualities and to exhibit them to the world, then everyone would be attracted to Krishna consciousness. So this begins, if these qualities aren't developing, it's because of a failure to properly follow the process. And so that we have to do. And then independently, we should make plans. And say, now, what can we do? Here are the standards. Here are the standards. How do we go about fulfilling these standards one after another? And let's say, okay, honestly speaking, our temple is not clean, our guests are ill-treated, whatever, 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 you know. And then say, now what do we do to change? And if it looks impossible, Krishna will give us the intelligence and the facility to urge to complete these things, even if right now we don't seem how we can do it. At least we can keep on trying and trying and trying to show Krishna, prove Krishna that we actually care. Then he says, okay, you care, then I'll see that it takes place. Anyway, this was Ajamil's position. Of course, we see he fell down from this bad conditions of Kali Yuga. But still, this is the ideal. And there's no need to fall down if we're a little bit careful to avoid bad association and a few other things. Then there won't be any problems. Anyway, any questions or comments? Yeah. No. You're talking about prasadam? No, it can't be prasadam. Prasadam, you can always put in your mouth. It's never contaminated. So the standard is it shouldn't fall on the floor and shouldn't be left. Prasadam is pure. I don't know what else is on it, but the prasadam is pure. It doesn't get contaminated. I don't understand the question. I just heard a statement.
I think that you can say that certain standards, okay, this is a good one, this comes in now, things leave on last. That the guests are always treated as royalty or whatever. And I try to do my best as a devotee, but I don't look at myself as a full-fledged devotee.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Sometimes I think that it becomes, people, once one minute is Prabhu and then the next minute is some other thing according to a way someone wants to talk to you,
You're complaining about how you're treated? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying how,
I thought this was a question. I can't still. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a question. It's a statement, huh? Okay. I just don't know what you're... Okay. Anyone else? Yes? Manasa Ganga?
It's not really organized as a temple.
Well, maybe we should have a little Easter ghosty about what is our problem in Philadelphia. That's okay. Let's talk about it then. He's back. Somebody with a CB or something. Joaquin? I can't follow you. Give me an example.